Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. These are God's words. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So verses 19 and 20 take us further back than the outcome in verses 15 through 18, which we considered last week. Verses 15 through 18 described how the Father had given the Son, had given our Lord Jesus Christ, the first place in all things, the first place in creation, displaying his Son as the uncreated creator, so displaying his Son as very God of very God, and also redemption, displaying his Son as the head of the body, that both in God's creating power and love, he makes his Son the great display of himself, and in God's redeeming love and power, so that his Son especially is the one who is described and displayed as the one who takes a bride for himself and is her head and takes the church to be, as it were, his bone and his flesh. And in this way, the Son has the first place in all things, or as verse 18 concluded in our translation, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Well, what is behind this making the Son have the first place in all things? It is the pleasure of God. The pleasure especially of the Father, although the words the Father in verse 19 in our translation have actually been supplied by our translators. They're not from the Greek. They're an inference from the phrase back in verse 13, the Son of his love. But it pleases God that Christ should be displayed as God the Creator and God the Redeemer. And so it pleased the Father to do two things, and in the two things, the key word is a very little word, that is the word all. It pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. So the all here reminds us, or teaches us, instructs us, that there is no provision in anyone except for in the Lord Jesus. And the all in verse 20 reminds us, teaches us, that there is no reconciliation, there is no peace in anyone or anything except in Jesus. So first, there is no provision except in Jesus. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. God's provision for us is not a bare minimum, just enough to meet whatever we need. Like you figure out exactly what you need and you put in your requisition request and you get that exact amount. No, God is gives us according to the riches of his glory. God gives us according to his fullness, which is even greater than our neediness. And it's God's pleasure that not just some, not just most, but all of this fullness would be in his Son, our Lord Jesus. This is true because Christ is not only our Redeemer, who gives us what we lack, but he is also our Creator. And he is the God of providence, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. And so in creation and in providence and in that special and greatest providence that is his redemption, the Father has made the Son, God has made his Son, the one in whom all of his fullness dwells for us. What this means for you is that for everything you need, you come to the Lord Jesus. He is your God. He has made you. He is your God. He is the one who upholds you. He even, by the word of his power, upholds all those who in rebellion against him are using whatever life and ability he has loaned to them to resist him and to oppress or persecute us. And yet, they are unable to do anything that he has not designed and determined for our good. And he is doing us good through them. And especially when you find in yourself that you are not doing what you would like to do, or that you are doing what you hate doing, because you still have, don't you, the old man, the sinfulness that remains, the fleshliness that remains from your original nature, from Adam. And you need help for the killing of sin, and you need help for mortifying the flesh, and you need help for loving and serving and obeying, for working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You come to him who works in you both to will and to work. And you find out here in Colossians 1, verse 19, that the one who works in you, Philippians 2, verse 13, is especially the Son. Yes, it's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet it pleases God that in Jesus all of the fullness, the abundance of God for everything that you need, would dwell. So there's no provision anywhere or in anyone except in Jesus Christ. And this is the pleasure of the Father, so that he might display his Son, whom he adores, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. So at his baptism, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." At his transfiguration, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And in every moment of your neediness, for which the fullness of God is the only and is the abundant answer, the Father says to us, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It pleases God that in the Lord Jesus, in his Son, all of the fullness should dwell. And so God, by this design, trains our hearts to be pleased with Christ and to love Christ as the Father and the Spirit have been pleased with the Son and loved the Son for unending ages from all eternity, producing in us the love and joy of God himself, which is the fruit of that work of the Holy Spirit in us as he conforms us to Christ. So that's the first part. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. There is no provision except in Jesus. And the second part, there is no reconciliation, or there is no peace except in Jesus. And by him, that is, by the Son of his love, or by Christ, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him. So he says the by him twice. He emphasizes it. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. And that reminds us of verse 16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible." And so in verse 16, it taught us that the Son is the uncreated creator, God himself. And in verse 20, teaches us that the Son is the infinitely worthy Redeemer, God himself. Why is it that reconciliation can never come from anyone or anything except Jesus? The end of verse 20 tells us, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross." In Romans 1 through 3, it teaches us that our sin is against the glory of God, that the wrath of God is displayed against all the unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, because although we knew God's glory, we did not give thanks or glorify him as God, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you take Romans 1, 18 through 20 or so, and Romans 3, 23, and the bookends of that section, and you see that our sin and our guilt and the wrath of God against our sin are as big as the glory of God. This is what we have sinned against. This is the guilt that we have. Sometimes when we sin, we feel like, oh, I will do better now and make it up to God. But that's because we don't see how big our sin is. That our sin has been against the very glory of God itself. Has been against the very glorious God himself. And we need a sacrifice. Sophia, sit up, please. We need a sacrifice. We need an atonement. We need a payment for our sin that is as big as God. And then the end of Romans 3 comes. And it says that God has displayed the Lord Jesus Christ as a propitiation, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. And the counterpart to that in our passage is at the end of verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And there's wonder there, and there's worship there, because we needed peace. We needed a making of peace that is as big as God himself. And so there can be nothing in creation. There can be no one else who makes peace for you with God except the one who is God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in order for you to have peace, blood had to be shed. The one who is God had to become a man, had to take on our flesh and blood, had to be made like us in every way except without sin, so that when he went to not just any death, but the death of the cross, to bear the curse, to suffer the punishment that our sin deserves, he would succeed and make peace for us there. And we would be reconciled to God. There would be this great exchange where God takes our sin from us. The Lord Jesus takes our sin from us. And he gives his righteousness to us. This double imputation, it's called. Our sin counted against Jesus. Jesus' righteousness counted for us. And this exchange takes place in which we are brought back into the full favor of God. And so by his design, not only in creation, but especially in redemption, he displays the glory of his Son as the one true and living God. There is reconciliation in no one else. And so not just when you feel need for help or you need some sort of either earthly or spiritual provision, there's no provision in anyone else. But especially when you feel the weight of your sin and your guiltiness, and you know that you have no claim whatsoever upon God, and that you need peace with him, you know that it can only come and has been purchased completely by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you trust in him to be your peace and your reconciliation with God, he is glorified as being God himself. This is his Father's plan. This is God's plan for the glory of the Son, that he would be glorified this way. Now, if we learn to love Jesus' glory, to enjoy him, then when we come into seasons of neediness of any kind, earthly or spiritual, and we remember, this is how my Savior is glorified, by being the one in whom all of the provision of God comes, we rejoice in our need, in our weakness. Remember the apostle, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, and he rejoices in the display of the fullness of Christ. In him all the fullness dwells. As we learn to love Jesus' glory, we will learn to rejoice over these opportunities we have designed by the Father to display the glory of the Son. Will God grant us to love his glory as God loves his glory? Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, make us lovers of your glory by your Spirit, we pray. We thank you for your love of the Father and your fellowship with the Spirit, and that as the Spirit conforms us to you, these are stirred up in us. We thank you for the imitation of the Father, the production, reproduction of his character in us as your Spirit trains us to call him our Abba and to imitate him and walk in love as beloved children. We pray that you would give us first and foremost love, not only for the Father and for the Spirit, but for yourself, our Lord, that we would love you because you first loved us, that we would love your glory, And so when you do bring us through providence in which we feel our neediness or in which we feel our guiltiness, make us at that moment, we pray, to rejoice that in you all the fullness for our neediness dwells, and in you is all of the peace and reconciliation for our guiltiness, so that you are glorified as the one God, creator, provider, redeemer, and make our hearts to rest upon you, and make our hearts to rejoice in you, and give us from yourself all that we need, we ask, that you might be glorified in this way. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.